During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
They are the greatest sports writers in history. Red Smith, Grantlin Rice, Damon Runyon. One day this man will have read them all. The program's NFL insider, Bob Glauber.
Yes, indeed. It is time to talk some NFL football with Bob Glauber. Nothing to talk about this week. We'll try to make up something to see if we can get Bob going. We're live and on the road. Jim Beam Bourbon Tour continues. We're at Gomer's in Midtown, 39th of Broadway, 3838 Broadway, if you're going to GPS it. If you're anywhere around Midtown, downtown, Plaza area, maybe going up or down 71. We're just a stone's throw away from that. Come on in and stock up. You could win yourself a Yeti cooler. It's beautiful. It's priceless is its value. That's what I would call it, because if you need the best cooler around to take things around your tailgate, might as well be a backpack cooler from Yeti, and it's a big old one. It is great. Come check it out, and check out all the flavors of Jim Beam Bourbon, the apple, the honey, the black, extra aged, the vanilla, the peach. They've got great flavors for you to try, and, of course, some great swag as well, as you can get some T-shirts while they last, the security bags, the Jim Beam bags for taking into a Chiefs game. They are NFL security ready to go. So that is a great idea for you to grab. Foam fingers, they got all kinds of cool things for you. But the coolest part is a chance to sample that great Jim Beam flavored bourbons. The peach, the apple, it is very, very good. And you can check it out right here at Gomer's. 3838 Broadway, Jim Beam Bourbon Tour has landed in the Midtown. And we are proud to be broadcasting here with our friends from Jim Beam. So come see us today and get stocked up for the weekend with your friends at Gomer's. They'll be happy to take care of all the Jim Beam needs you've got and anything else you need as well. And don't forget to sign up for that cooler. Bob Glauber is with us from the New York Newsday. You know, he's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. That's where you'll find our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. Bob, welcome to the Sprint Guest Line. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Sharon. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Back.
Yes, absolutely. Did you watch the Thursday night football all the way to the end, or did you see the melee, the fracas, as part of relays, or replays?
No, I saw it as it was happening, and I was absolutely incredulous at what I was seeing. And I kind of thought, as I'm watching it, I was like, wow, you're watching history here, my man. Nothing like this has ever happened. I go back to that. I was just thinking about that. I heard a tackle of Jim McMahon. Trying to think what it was, the Packers, I believe, at Soldier Field. The guy just, right? Just ragged him down, ragdolled him down to the field. But this was, like, worse. Man, this is almost, we're watching an assault. And I'm telling you, we're lucky. We're all lucky, especially Myles Garrett, that nothing more serious happened. I mean, that was a weapon that he used on a guy with no helmet. I mean, that could have been disastrous, really. And it was bad enough as it was, but it could have been a lot worse.
And yet we're and they just dropped off a shot of the Jim Beam. Which flavor? Oh, I got the Jim Beam Black. It's one of my favorites. I don't really need to taste it, Bob, because you might be shocked to know this. I've got a lot of it at my house, but I'm not turning it down. I'm going to tell you that right now. So after I ask you this question, my throat will feel better. Know that right now. So listen, you just said, like, what you were seeing. I've seen that dozens of times. Never in a game, but it happens all the time in training camp. We see highlights of it on ESPN. We see it. I saw Eddie Freeman rip John Tate's helmet off and hit him over the head with it and put a gash across his forehead that knocked him out for the rest of the preseason. And then listen to Dick Vermeil chastise the media for asking questions about whether or not Eddie Freeman was going to be suspended, which he wasn't. They sanction this kind of violence all the time in training camp. And so any of us freaking out and acting like this is something new to the NFL, it's only new in the sense that it happened in a game. That's the only way it's new, and I cannot stand all this hand-wringing that's going on for anyone that's been around this league for any amount of time. You have seen this before, Bob. It just happened in training camp.
I mean, that's a fair point. I can't remember if and when I've seen it before. So, sure, there's guys trying to rip their helmets off like that. I don't think I've ever seen a guy try to hit a guy with his helmet. I guess that's happened. But again, you're right. We have not seen this in a game, and that's why it was so jarring. And it was just, you know, it was beyond the pale. So I thought back to, you know, there was way back, I don't remember it, like, seeing it, but there was a hockey fight where I think it was Wayne Mackey. And this was before they wore helmets. He, like, literally hit Ted Green over the head with a stick, and Ted Green, like, suffered brain damage and a fractured skull as a result of it. That was, like, as hideous as it gets. But this was, I mean, this could have been that bad.
Well, it could have been that bad. Fortunately, it wasn't. And the league, I think, acted appropriately. And listen, I'm not saying he shouldn't be suspended at all. He should be. But they should curb this behavior in training camp, in practices, where they don't at times. I don't even think they discourage. I think they encourage this behavior. And then I don't get all these players, you know, coming out with their tweets about, oh, wow, how bad it is. You know what they were saying? Oh, wow, you're going to get suspended and lose a lot of money. They weren't saying, oh, wow, I can't believe the violent nature of this, because the crap goes on all the time. I mean, all the time. So, listen, to me, it's great. We're all going to wring our hands and say, oh, it's terrible, and he should be suspended, and he is. That was a layup. The league suspended him for the rest of the year. I actually think the behavior of Marquise Pouncey going in where he even tries to kick him, and who was the player I was looking at today? Somebody even said, way to go, Pouncey, gangster style, got to protect your quarterback.
No, that's wrong.
Well, of course it's wrong. My point is to illustrate the mindset of the players in this league. They don't really value the well-being of each other, okay? And they allow themselves to be in a situation where training camps are conducted where this is commonplace. This is commonplace. I mean, listen, does a helmet get ripped off at every practice? No. But I'm telling you, I would venture to guess it happens 10 times in every offseason in the NFL, in every preseason of the NFL, during training camp, 10 times it occurs in camps all over. We see highlights on ESPN and nobody freaks out. We see melees breaking out everywhere, right? Like Andy Reid's one of the smart coaches. He's smart enough to not have joint practices because all they end up being is a bunch of fights. That's why the Chiefs finally quit doing it. Dick Vermeil said it. There's no point in doing this crap. All it ends up being is a bunch of fights around here. We can't get anything done. I mean, so listen, the fact this just happened in a game, that's all. That's the only thing that's different. But they have bred this culture and this mindset, and the players in the league themselves don't need to sit here and act appalled because they condone this behavior all the time because there are no suspensions and no probations and none of that and no fines that happen when these things go on in training camp.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right there, but I think that what we saw last night was something we've really never seen before, okay, in a game. And, you know, you got Troy Aikman calling it barbaric. You know, one kind of sidebar from this was, I thought Baker Mayfield, his interview after the game was like, wow, this guy, that's as mature an interview as I've ever seen. I was like, you know what? He really kind of established a lot of leadership in that, where he just said, unacceptable. He said, I know he'll be suspended. You can't do it. It hurts us. He's not going to be around. And I actually thought Baker Mayfield was kind of the voice of reason, which doesn't always occur.
Well, and it's a disaster, Bob. And I'll tell you why. We're going to disagree again. You really should listen to the first hour of the program before you walk into these buzzsaws like you are right now. Listen, Baker Mayfield's a clown, all right? Borderline somewhere. He lands somewhere between clown and D-bag, okay? I'm not sure where on that scale, you know, but he's somewhere in there. And so for him to walk to the podium and go holier than thou when he can't handle questions from reporters, you know what he did? He endeared himself to the media, the mainstream. But in reality, the players, I think he hurt himself. I just told you the culture of the league is way to go Marquise Pouncey for trying to stomp a guy when he's down. Oh, he's got his teammates back. Somehow that makes it okay. Hell no, it doesn't make it okay. But that's the mindset of that league. And for Baker Mayfield, who's constantly making his teammates answer questions for his stupidity, to come out and then chastise one of his own, I disagree. I think this is, we already know it's a crap show there in Cleveland, and I think that's going to be, in that locker room, that's not going over well. That's not going to help him lead. He's throwing one of his guys under the bus? No. That locker room got divided even more than the mess that it already is. That's what I think. You don't agree?
No, I would not agree with that, only because, you know, Baker Mayfield has said some things like this before on a much less serious degree. I remember in training camp when he kind of yelled at the receivers, like, hey, get it together here. And that was a moment where he was lauded for showing leadership and, say, taking ownership of the team. I don't know, Seren. I think when you – I mean, he's stating the obvious with that stuff. You can't hurt the team like that. You know, you get mad, but when you fight, you're going to get penalized. You're going to get suspended. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with calling out that kind of behavior? And listen, if you've seen Myles Garrett this year, the guy has had a problem with late hits. Earlier in the season, he was unapologetic about it, and it was like, wow, this dude – you know, what's happened to this guy? He was like, you know, listen, number one overall pick, starting to come into his own, and all of a sudden, he can't control himself. And he went over the line in this one, but I wonder if this was not brewing leading up to it, because the guy, I don't know how many penalties for late hits he's had, but he had quite a few, at least earlier in the season.
Well, listen, my point is not that what he's saying is wrong. My point is he's not the guy to say it. Like, again,
why?
He's, like, why?
He's
why?
The quarterback. He
also, okay, so then, why didn't? All right, so then let me ask you a question. Why didn't Patrick Mahomes come out and chastise Tyreek Hill for the fact that he was putting the organization in a bad light? Why didn't he do it? That was a frustration that some fans had. Why is it Patrick Mahomes out there saying Tyreek Hill's got to do this, and even though, you know, we're finding out that maybe what's being alleged is not true, he can't be putting the team in a bad light. Why is it Patrick Mahomes calling out? What did he say? The little bit of criticism that Patrick Mahomes has had in this town was for the fact that he came out and said, Tyreek Hill is my brother. We're all there for him. We want him to get through this, and we want him to get back to the team. And that's the only criticism Patrick Mahomes has received, is that he had his teammates back. And that's the code of the locker room. You do not come out and chastise your teammates. If we're talking about setting a moral code for humanity, Baker Mayfield did the right thing. I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm arguing with you that this is not going to help him in that locker room. When you said he showed leadership, if his goal is to one day run for office, yes, he showed leadership. If his goal is to lead that football team, I think he turned off a lot of guys in that locker room. Because that's the high school Neanderthal mindset of the NFL locker room.
All right, so what would have pleased you with what Baker Mayfield, what could he have said that would have been fine? Well,
I'm not
unfortunate, you know, what could he have said?
No, Bob, but that's the thing. Bob, the goal is not to please or displease me. That's not it. It doesn't matter. I am pleased that some people – listen, the guy I'm most pleased about is Myles Garrett, frankly, after the incident, not the incident. But after the incident, he immediately owned it. He immediately said, I know it's wrong. He immediately said – and that's the thing. While he's doing that, Baker Mayfield's over there chastising him. He's already there. He's already where you're saying Baker Mayfield showing the leadership. Myles Garrett was already there. So to me, Baker Mayfield's grandstanding out in front. He's probably thrilled somebody else screwed up, and he gets to talk about it. That's okay. What I think.
I mean,
now, listen, when you say it's not about pleasing me, right, and I'm not telling you I'm pleased or displeased. I'm telling you what I think the reaction is in the locker room, and I think too often we take our own moral code and we take our own wants and we transpose that or we place it over the team and think that that's what the team wants. I'm simply telling you we all got to be real. It's not always pretty. We want them all to be swell guys. They're not. We want them all to have great moral codes. They don't. We like to think they're all in it for what's best for humanity and society, and they're not. I'm not telling you that Baker Mayfield should have said anything different. I'm just telling you what he said pissed off half that locker room. I guarantee it.
Well, I think that locker room is fractured as it is, and that team has, you know, got dysfunction written all over it, so maybe he adds to it. But I do think that I'm telling you, and I'm watching a reaction of the reaction to it, and it's pretty like it's not dissimilar to what I'm saying. So I think at some level, some guys in the locker room, and look, you know, Freddie Kitchens is that team's gotten away from him. That situation has gotten away from him. So
you
I think Mayfield knows that. I think Mayfield knows that, and I think he got like, okay, I'm the quarterback of this team. I'm going to be here for a long time. I got to try to fix this. I got to try to own this room. I got to try to do whatever I can to step up to be the leader. Now, let me ask you something. Suppose all of a sudden, and maybe not all of a sudden, but suppose Baker Mayfield really has turned a corner. Suppose that moment kind of flipped the switch in him in some way, and he becomes a more responsible, less, you know, woe is me, less combative, less, you know, in your face kind of guy. What if he really does mature from this? What then? I mean, I think that would be a positive. I don't know that that's going to happen. He may still end up being a punk for the rest of his career, but, you know, I kind of see a guy struggling to find himself and to try to find the answer to what is wrong with his team. And this is going to be a huge challenge for him and for the team. I suspect that they fall apart from this, but I don't know. I think Mayfield's going to try to hold together the best way he can. They got an easy schedule. They're probably not going to make the playoffs, but at 4-6, you know, at least they're not out of it.
Well, you know, I think the franchise. I won't be shocked if they drop. What do they got? 10? They got 6 to go. I won't be shocked if they drop at least 4 and not 5 of these games.
Well, if they drop them, it'll be because the offense is terrible. I mean, the timing with Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. Odell, like he's a real me guy, but man, just as a technician, his stuff is off. And I think Mayfield ends up paying for it. Man, that's just off, and it's not right, and it's not fair to the offense.
Oh, come on!
It's got to get better. It's ridiculous. There's enough time. Get it right. Run the routes correctly, because I suspect that he is not running the routes like Baker Mayfield is expecting, and that's a problem.
Well, of course it's a problem if they're not on the same page. But Baker Mayfield's in that mix too. Quarterbacks make wideouts. Wideouts don't make quarterbacks.
Okay. Some of the throws that were going on last night had me very confused, and I don't think they were all Baker's fault.
Take a look at Juju Smith-Schuster. He was phenomenal. One of the best receivers in football last year when Ben Roethlisberger was throwing him the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well. Yes. Okay.
So Baker Mayfield's just not all that.
But look at DeAndre Hopkins, who is going to the Hall of Fame with the likes of T.J. Yates and Ryan Fitzpatrick and whatever other quarterback they were trotting out there before Deshaun Watson. That guy somehow got it done.
Listen, Bob, don't go start making good points, okay? Keep with your bad ones. And I like those.
Damn it.
That one's a really good one. That one's a really good one. He is the best example of a receiver that's still shining with just nothingness around him at the quarterback position before Deshaun Watson. But, yeah, that's a good one. Bob Glauber's with us. He's our NFL insider. We're going to take a break. He's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. Great selection of the motor clothes right now. That's right, the Worth Harley-Davidson gear is there at Worth Harley-Davidson North. You can check it out. In fact, I'm wearing one of my Worth shirts right now. Great gear for you. Makes for some great holiday gifts. You can get up there and check it out right now at Worth Harley-Davidson North. Black Friday pricing all month on their complete line of Harley-Davidson, the licensed products, shirts, jackets, boots, and more. Nobody has a better selection of Harley gear than the folks at Worth. This month only, get free labor on any accessory that bolts on. That's handlebars, exhaust, or motor upgrades. Get them something cool this year. For the holidays, the experts at Worth have got you covered. I-29 and Tiffany Springs, take advantage of it. It's Worth Harley Davidson North. We're live on the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour. You can sample the bourbon. It is absolutely fantastic. I love the black extra aged. It's my absolute favorite. I've also got the peach and the apple at my house, and I've got the red stag as well. That is super sweet, I'm going to warn you. But if you like super sweet, you're going to love that one as well. Coming here to Gomer's, you can get stocked up for the weekend. The guys and gals are ready for you at 39th and Broadway, 3838 Broadway, the GPS address. If you want to come by Gomer's and get stocked up, all kinds of cool Jim Beam swag for you as well. It's Gomer's in Midtown.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense into the hour answer. Four players have had 5,000 yards rushing in their first 50 games. I asked for any of them. They are Eric Dickerson, Earl Campbell, Jim Brown, Terrell Davis. Ezekiel Elliott can join that group this weekend.
Yeah, that's a big one. Zeke Elliott's had a heck of a career. It's the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're live. We're on the road. The Jim Beam Bourbon Tour continues. Many samples being had. Why wouldn't you come get a sample? It don't cost nothing. Jim Beam, all kinds of great flavors for you to try. The apple honey, the black extra age, the vanilla. And when I say apple, there's apple flavor, there's honey flavor. There's the vanilla, there's the peach, there's the black extra age. I love the extra age. The devil's cut is really good as well. If you love you some bourbon, the number one bourbon in the freaking world, people, it's Jim Beam. They got all kinds of great flavors for you to sample. They got all kinds of goodies for you as well. As we are on the road, we just gave away some great Good Sense, goodsensesubs.com. If you want to grab some dinner on your way home, go to goodsensesubs.com, put the order in, lunch tomorrow, what have you. You can put the order in right there, go right by the line, walk up, and get your sandwich and walk right out. The Good Sense app is also a great way to order. And, of course, the Loyalty Club gives you 10% back. It's the best loyalty club around. Don't mess around with some like, oh, yeah, if you buy $14,000 worth of chicken sandwiches, we'll give you a coffee. Screw you. You get 10% back at Good Sense right now, every time, if you're part of the loyalty club. So get to your neighborhood Good Sense right now. Bob Glauber's with us, brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley North. Bob, by the way, I was just reminded, Rudy Salazar, who's had a tough couple of weeks, just reminded me, he said, Marquise Pouncey is a ride or die guy. Do you know what that means?
No.
Okay. Well, so one more thing. I don't want. I really don't want to do the whole hour on this fight, even though I know it's the overwhelming topic around the NFL. But he said he will ride with his guy or he will die. He reminded me that the Pouncey brothers, even after convicted, were walking around wearing T-shirts that said "Free Aaron Hernandez."
Well, no, Marquise Pouncey is certainly not blameless in this, and I think the sanction against him was reflective of that.
So, and what'd he get?
He got three, I believe. Three games on tape.
I will almost tell you, I mean, and listen, I don't want to debate what's worse in a fight because it's a football segment, but at least Myles Garrett was engaged in brawling activity with Mason Rudolph, good or bad. I know it's supposed to be different when you go after a quarterback or a goalie in hockey and those things. Those are no-nos. I get that. But he was, at least as far as man-to-man, he was engaged in a one-on-one brawl. Another Steeler came in, got in between. He did what he could to try to continue the fight. It's uncalled for. He's wrong. He deserves a suspension. I'm not trying to defend it. But when he is taken to the ground, and Marquise Pouncey tries to stomp on a guy, who's down, I will make you a case that that is worse than what was going on with Myles Garrett. Yeah, Myles Garrett swung a helmet. It's a fight. I love this. Well, we've got rules in the fight. It's okay to punch him, and it's okay to do this, but, you know, no sucker punches, or can't hit him in the neck, or don't mess up a guy's hair. You know, whatever stupid rules, you know, come into fights. There was a great cheers. That's where that hairline came up. No touching of the hair. All right, the hair. Oh, no, that was Anchorman or something. That was Anchorman. No touching of the hair. Right? We got these ground rules in fighting. Listen, it's a fight. It's a fight. But when a guy's down and you try to stomp on him, I make the case Marquise Pouncey was the worst guy out there on the field.
And who does that remind you of? I'm thinking of someone in particular who has kind of done that at Ndamukong Suh. Kind of like that type of behavior,
yeah.
Right?
Him and maybe Ric Flair. I can remember Ric Flair stomping some guys when they were down.
Bruno Sammartino.
Some of those.
You
there
really
you go.
Want to go back.
There you go.
Hulk Hogan. What the hell?
That's right.
Hulk did
That's
it.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, Seren, by the way, we started off at 100 miles an hour on this segment, and I neglected to say hello to 1K Curtis Seabolt. Hello, K-Bolt.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
I'm very, very good, sir. Always good to talk to you and hear your voice.
Same with you.
Well, that was awkward at best.
Well,
I'll say
why? Because I you know, K-Bolt. The sounds of K-Bolt are very, they're very soothing, and it helps me deal with you. It does.
I serve as the calming voice for Kansas City. Everything's going to be fine.
In the tempest in a teapot that Seren and I are.
Yeah, good to know. Good to know. All right. By the way, can I tell you that just one other thing about these teams, not about this fight. Mike Tomlin, you know, I'm a big believer in whoever wins the championship, that's the coach of the year. Particularly on a college level where you're GM and head coach for college football and college basketball. I'm a big believer in that. And I got a Big 12 vote this year, so I'll be picking the Big 12 coach of the year. I'll have a vote for it. I won't pick it, but I'll have a say in it. But, you know, if there is a guy that's not going to have a great record who might deserve coach of the year, it's Mike freaking Tomlin. Because Mason Rudolph sucks. And they are, and to win four in a row against anybody with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, and then he had that other kid who was what was his name? Shecky Green, who had been, you know, I'd say sacking groceries, but that'd make you think he was Kurt Warner. So he was raking leaves or something, and then all of a sudden he wins a game with him. I mean, come on, Tomlin is if the Steelers, there's been some talk that this could be it for him with the Steelers. That would be the dumbest thing they could possibly do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's not going to win Coach of the Year. There are others who are going to be ahead, I think. But I think he's done a terrific job. To have a four-game winning streak coming into that game was remarkable. They got back in it somehow. I don't think they'll stay in the race. But, you know, his defense is really kind of carrying that team. And Rudolph had been fairly productive. But, you know, you take away his running game, you take away some receivers. I mean, their injuries are just crushing, and he can't do it alone. He's not that kind of quarterback, and I don't know that he'll ever be that kind of quarterback, but, you know, he has done as well as possible given the circumstances. He was playing one-handed with all the injuries last night, and the offensive line was not playing particularly well, and Cleveland played about as good a defensive football game as they have in a long time. And that's why Garrett's loss is going to be a crusher. Did you notice that Baker Mayfield said after the game that it was unfortunate that they're going to be without Myles Garrett? Oh, wait, we talked about that.
Bazing.
Who is coach of the year right now in your mind?
You know, that's a good question because I would say Sean Payton is going to be way up there. Losing to Atlanta at home does not help. But overall, the body of work has been terrific. I think Pete Carroll's done a hell of a job with the Seahawks. I mean, Russell Wilson's probably the MVP. I think John Harbaugh has done a terrific job in Baltimore. Belichick should always be in the conversation, never is, because I think we just expect it out of the Patriots every year. And Matt LaFleur, you know, doing that with the Packers in his first year, turning it around, getting Aaron Rodgers to believe in him. I think he's done a terrific job.
Yeah, I'm fine with all those names.
Am I missing anyone obvious?
Adam Gase. You know, listen, at what point does Bill O'Brien get some credit for constantly being, I mean, if he goes 9-7, they're going to be pissed, but you know, they're 6-3. They've had injuries. How many games does he got to win before, you know, we turn around and say, okay, Bill O'Brien's pretty good.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, he can win one game and people will say, hey, this guy's pretty good. And that's if they beat Baltimore. I think that will do a lot to launch Bill O'Brien into that conversation. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think that would be a good starting point. I've always liked O'Brien, even when he was struggling. And you knew he was. I mean, he was just going through terrible quarterbacks, somehow patching things together, squeezing out playoff berths, never having a chance in the playoffs. But I mean, I've liked him. I think he did good work for Bill Belichick. I think he got something out of Tom Brady that perhaps Brady, you know, might not have had with a different coach. And I think he's been a good head coach. Maybe he hasn't too much power. They got to get a general manager in there, and they will. But I think he's a quality coach.
Names I would add to the list. Did you mention Kyle Shanahan?
No, and I should have. He is definitely in there.
Yep. He should be talked about. Another name that should be on the list that nobody will talk about is Ron Rivera.
Fair enough. Done a good job without Cam, and you know, there's no doubt he's done a good job.
Kyle Allen is a guy who sold me insurance a few years ago. It's not a guy who's supposed to be winning five games in the NFL. Okay, that's not the name Kyle Allen. Mike Zimmer with the Vikings.
Zimmer has done a very good job. His defense
he's done a nice
playing,
job.
Like, yep.
And then we should probably – two more. John Gruden.
Fair enough.
Actually, three more.
Yep.
John Gruden in the discussion, right? I'm not saying the guy – but he is – listen, that Hard Knocks, I'm like, this holy dumpster fire. I'm impressed because, you know, knock on wood if you're with me, Bob. Because that did not look good. That looked like a total cheese factory out there. And with Antonio Brown, circus and everything, and to turn the corner and come out, that's really good. Two more names. How about Frank Reich? Steady ship with losing Andrew Luck. That's been a pretty good job. And I'm going to give you another one. I'm going to give you a guy who's going to get fired, and then in his second job, if he gets a quarterback, is going to be a stud. And that's Mike Vrabel. I mean, they're 5-5. And he's doing it now, winning games with a guy the Dolphins quit on. The Dolphins quit on him. And they're winning games. And he did it before that with Marcus Mariota. And when he gave him every chance to be the franchise guy, they're in a big year where they got to decide what to do with the quarterback. And he made the move to Tannehill. And a lot of times you'll see that, and he's just going somewhere, and it doesn't get any better. Their offensive numbers, I had a breakdown of their numbers pre-Tannehill and with Tannehill, they've all gone up. I mean, he gave him every opportunity to prove himself, and then he got off the merry-go-round and went to a guy, and now he's playing Alex Smith-style ball, not as well as Alex Smith, but he's playing that type of ball, and he had the only game plan against the Chiefs. His win against the Chiefs was completely improbable. Curtis had this stat. Do you know that there have been 92 games where now, the Chiefs were the 92nd, a team has outgained its opponent by 150 yards, had more than a 15-minute time of possession advantage, and was even or better in turnovers? Or was it exactly even, Curtis?
It was exactly even.
Exactly even. So 92 games. Even in turnovers, plus 15 minutes time of possession, plus 150 yards. So 91 before this. What do you think the record was of the teams that had that advantage, which the Chiefs had in those 91 games, how many of the 91 did they win?
80.
90.
Wow.
It was 90-1. He won a game. I will give him so much credit because we have sat and watched, like last year, the Broncos running over the Chiefs. The Chiefs, they get a turnover. The Chiefs' offense is going up and down the field. They get the lead. The Broncos get away from the run. The Chiefs get a win, a big win in Denver in that game because the Broncos started chasing the points, got away from their game plan, started throwing, went away from it. We've seen numerous teams where basically, and I'm going to tell you, Steve Spagnuolo's comments today, he said about like late in the game, he said, well, you know, we were going, we really thought they were going to throw, and they kept running. It sounds so simple, but no coach ever seems to have the spine or the stones to just keep running it and say, if I lose, I lose. They start throwing it around because they start managing the game for the post-game press conference. Vrabel looked at it and said, it doesn't matter what all's going on out there. The only way I can win is to run the ball and keep them off the field. And he stuck with it, and lo and behold, he needed some freaky stuff to happen. But that's the only way they were going to win is if freaky stuff happened. He was willing to lose the game, playing the only way he could to win. And that takes guts. That takes smarts. That's a Bill Belichick-like move.
Yeah, and where did Bill Belichick learn it from? He learned it from
his dad. Bill. His dad.
Well, Bill Parcells and the Giants won a Super Bowl playing like that in 1990. They did not have.
I agree.
Team, but they had the best mind, and that was Belichick. Parcells. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
I was being flippant. Obviously, he learned it from Bill Parcells. He himself won a Super Bowl like that in 2001 with Mike Vrabel on the field because that's what they did against the Rams.
Okay, but can I ask you something? What makes you think that Mike Vrabel would not be back next year in Tennessee? You don't think they're – I think he's going to be back. I think he's done a terrific job. And I don't – you know, you mentioned, oh, you think he'll be fired and then he'll just get with a stud QB. I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's earning his, you know, earning his longevity there. I think he's back.
Okay. Were you asking the question, wanting my answer, or just to get on a soapbox? I wasn't sure.
No, I was just imitating you. Let me ask you something, and then I proceed to speak.
I love it.
Good.
That's great.
That feels pretty good.
Total right answer, by the way. Total right answer. To answer the question you didn't really want an answer to, I was on in Nashville last week, and they were talking like...
Tell your wife about this exchange. Tell your wife about this exchange. She'll love it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, I'll tell her the next time she goes, this is not your show, okay? You don't get the last word on everything. I'll be like, no, I know, on my show, Bob Glauber totally got me. Totally got me. He had the last word. He had the last word. Listen, I was on in Nashville, and that's how they were kind of talking. Like, this was almost kind of a make-or-break game for Mike Vrabel, and I'm like, your team's nothing special. And he's slopping around in the mud, still in it for the division. Get off this guy's back. And lo and behold, he pulls a rabbit out of the hat. I mean, and I've got the Titans over 8. So, you know, there was a ray of sunshine. And then being I've also got the Chiefs over 10, so it hurt me there. I was going to get hurt one way or the other. So we'll see how it goes. All right, we'll take a break. Talk about the Chiefs and Chargers next with Bob Glauber, our NFL insider. He's brought to you by my friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. We're at Gomer's in Midtown. Come stock up for the weekend. They got the great bags that you can take in for security bags with the Jim Beam logo. And, of course, great samples of all the Jim Beam flavors while they last. The Jim Beam Bourbon Tour has landed in the Midtown, 3838 Broadway. It's Gomer's, 39th and Broadway.
The Program with Soren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Program's coming to you live today from Gomer's in Midtown, 3838 Main. You can sample all the great flavors of Jim Beam. What are you waiting on? Get over here. You ain't working. Stock up for the weekend and sample all these great flavors of Jim Beam. The Jim Beam ladies will be happy to give you a taste. They even got the mixers if you want to try it with what you might mix it. Great flavors like apple, peach, vanilla. You can check out the black extra aged. Awesome. My favorite. I also like the Devil's Cut is a great one, too. The flavored ones are awesome. The ladies will love the flavored one, guys. Make sure you got some of that at your house so that when you have parties and the ladies come over, you can offer them a flavor that they would love as well. But I love the apple and I love the peach. They are really good. Come check it out. Just put it on some ice. It's good to go. Bob Glauber's with us. From the New York Newsday, our NFL insider. Chiefs at Chargers. Are you aware of this, Bob? You're probably not because you only look at the Jets and Giants. But the Raiders have the Bengals at home and at the Jets the next 2 weeks. Chiefs have Chargers in Mexico, then a bye week, and they're tied in the loss column. In 3 weeks, I'm sure they're going to move the Chiefs-Raiders game here at Arrowhead after their bye to the Sunday night slot, and it'll be two teams playing for first place in the AFC West. Did you know that that's where we are? Basically, the Chiefs and Raiders are tied now.
Of course I know that. You just told me. By the way, I really need, and right now, you know what I need right now? I need a shot of peach-flavored Jim Beam and a shot of apple-flavored Jim Beam. Because I need that badly after talking to you. Anyway,
I will wait till next hour and then I will have one for you.
All right, please do. No, okay. That's good. Listen, the Raiders are absolutely in it, and that was a really costly loss by the Chiefs. And I mean, you can't say enough about that. So this is going to be a dogfight, I think, the rest of the way.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it is. What do you think the Chiefs are capable of running off? Like, what do you think they can get done?
You mean in this game or just for the rest of the season?
No, the rest of the season. Like, can they rattle off a 12-4, or are they done for the one seed? Are they done even for a bye in the two seed?
Well, I really think last week's loss kind of hurts them badly in that race. I mean, I still think they're like an elite team, but you can't do that. Not with Baltimore there, not with the Patriots there. Now the Patriots, they're having a little bit of that midseason identity crisis. We've seen it time and time again. You know, Tom Brady saying, "Hey, we got to they're 8-1," and he's saying, "Hey, we got to get it going," because that was a really bad loss at Baltimore that exposed a lot of their weaknesses, if there are any. So I think it's going to be tough for the Chiefs to get the number one seed. But, we constantly see weird stuff happen down the stretch. So I'm not going to put it out of the realm of possibility. I would say 11-5 is a little bit more realistic. But get on a roll and anything can happen.
I think the Chiefs go to New England and win. How do you like that one?
Okay. That would be huge. Yeah. That would be massive. That would, that really would be, that's the kind of stuff that is, first of all, that's why the sport is so good and the league is so good, because of the way they set it up. And the time of that game in the season is going to be immense. And if they can win that game, then they've obviously got back in that race for that.
Bob, your long-windedness has prevented us from having a Final Four. We have to go, my friend.
No!
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on The Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, Mike Trout has played 8 full seasons in the major leagues. How many times has he finished lower than second in the MVP voting? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.